You're listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5. You've reached Reality Sandwich, a palatable taste of the truth. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living, and you're listening to our radio show, Reality Sandwich, every Thursday at noon, where we serve up a palatable taste of the truth of topics of the mind, body, health, the environment, and a variety of other pressing, important topics of our time. So today I have on a wonderful guest. His name is Barry Bettman, and he is going to be joining us by phone in a moment. He is a recognized professional certified coach through the International Coaching Federation. He's also certified as a professional coactive coach at the internationally known Coaches Training Institute. In addition, Barry has extensive experience with Anthony Robbins Mastery University, and he has a wealth of experience with clients. And so his specialty is coaching people with ADHD, or attention deficit disorder. His specific coaching education in ADD is based on the ADD Coach Academy, and he brings practical approaches to those with ADHD for success in their everyday life. So let me see if I can get Barry on with us. One moment. Barry, are you there?
Good afternoon, Julie. Welcome and thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's so great to have you on.
Fantastic.
So, many of my listeners know that I am a certified nutrition consultant who actually specializes in autism and ADHD, and so I wanted to have you on today to talk specifically. We end up talking a lot about autism because it's something that a great deal of intervention can be required, and we usually spend a lot of time focused on that. Sometimes the ADD people or the people with ADHD get sort of, left aside a little bit. So I'm really excited today to talk about specifically those needs that affect people on this spectrum. And we're going to be talking about adults as well as children today, I believe. So I'm looking forward to jumping right in.
Fantastic. Where do you want to start?
All right. How about if we... why don't you just talk initially about what you call ADD success coaching?
Yeah, great. So ADD or ADHD is this challenge that people have around what we call executive functions, getting things done, focusing, time management, these kind of problems. And ADD success coaching specifically focuses towards the success of the client that has ADD, or, say, a parent which works with a client, a child that has ADD. And it's about coaching them to success, helping them bring out the pure brilliance of what's inside of them. So not only can they have a normal life, but they can have an outstanding life and do superior things that they want to achieve and have in their life.
So maybe before we even start, it would be a good time to go ahead and define... What are you calling ADD versus ADHD?
Yeah, it's a great question. ADD means attention deficit disorder, or a supposed deficit of attention, although in reality it's not a deficit. It's that the filtration of being able to shut off the extra stimulus is not built into us. And the H part, for the hyperactivity, tends to be that people show up with a hyperactive or a high output, a high stimulus way of being. So for some people, ADD could be inattentive, more quiet, internal. ADHD could be more hyperactive. The reality is it's kind of more or less one of the same thing. It shows up differently in different people. So for me, I intermix the letters ADD and ADHD to mean these challenges that people have around executive functions. That means time management, prioritization, organization, decision-making, these kinds of things that show up for them, and coaching them to success around those challenges that show up in their daily lives.
Okay, so for the purpose of our conversation today, we will be using ADD and ADHD interchangeably, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that sounds easy. So how did you get into this specialty to begin with?
You know, interesting. I dealt with ADD all my life, and I didn't even know it. I'm currently 50 years old, and at age 40, I went through some pretty big life changes. And in the process, I decided I was done with my prior career, which was doing business consulting and sales, and wanted to do something different. And I learned about coaching. I did some work with Tony Robbins and learned about the Coaches Training Institute. Well, in the process, I happened to be at a coaching conference, and there was another coach there, and we got talking. I said, you know, I got this little problem with my file cabinet. I have the hardest time organizing it. So we get talking. She says, well, you know, I'm a coach, but I'm also a professional organizer. I help people organize their business and their lives. So we go to lunch, and we get talking, and she explains this thing called ADD, Attention Deficit Disorder. She explains some of the challenges that people have. I'm going, boy, that sounds like some of the problems I have. So I went down the process of understanding what it was, what it wasn't, went through medical diagnosis, got diagnosed, and realized that I had been really struggling big time with this all my life. I then said, well, I was coaching people on their goals and their action plans and how to have a better life. I said, what if I took the thing that was most difficult for me, which was acknowledging my own ADD, my own attentional deficit problems in prioritizing, scheduling, time management, file cabinet, all those things. And what if I really got in there, took the best of the best tools in the industry, learned everything I could about ADD, and applied that to allow people to have a better life? So that's how I got into the specifics of ADD success coaching.
Wow. Now looking back on that, do you, for other people that might be in the same situation that you are, they might be 20, 30, 40, 50, and they might be struggling, but if they've had this their whole lives, they probably don't realize that they're struggling. Now that when you look back on that, do you have any words of wisdom for other people?
That's a great question. Because the question I asked myself similar to that was, oh, my gosh, at age 40, if I knew this at age 20, what would have I done differently? Well, you can't go back, but you can go forward. You know, education is an important piece of what it is and what it's not, and awareness is also. But I think more than that is whether you have an ADD success coach, a parent, a teacher, a mentor, finding somebody that really believes in you and understands what ADD is and isn't would make a huge, it just makes it so much quicker. Like, for instance, when I got into this, nobody sat down and said, you know, this issue you're dealing with is ADD or not ADD. That would have really sped things up for me. I was working with a client earlier on the phone today out of the East Coast, and so we were working on a particular thing to help make his life better. And part of the issue was specific around ADD, and part of it wasn't. So understanding what it is, what it's not, how it affects you, in a practical, positive way would probably make a very big difference in people's lives.
And is there anything that if parents are noticing that their child is struggling, what are the three biggest challenges typically that the ADD person experiences, and is this something that maybe parents might be able to identify a little bit earlier?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one of the top challenges is understanding the individual's own ADD or ADHD traits. Now, for an adult, it's a little easier to see it on your own. For a child, depending on the age, you might need some help from the adult or professional. No two people's traits are identical. You can get plenty of good information on the internet or in some good books about what are the hallmarks of ADD. But the reality is no two people have the exact identical. So we often say in ADD success coaching, you don't know ADD till you know your own ADD. You've got to find out what is it that's working incredible and what part needs help. I'll give you a good example. For myself, I'm very organized in my mind. But where my ADD shows up is around organizing physical items like paper, like boxes. That's just my own challenge. So now if I understand that, as I go through life, I now can say, hey, this is not my strength. Geez, is there something that could help me that is really good at organizing? Or bookkeeping, that's a lot of detailed task work, you know, checkbooks, accounting. I understand it, but sitting down and entering in a computer, that doesn't work for me because of the way I process. So who is really good at it or could help me that I could just go, this is not me, and and you could help. So that's one thing, understanding your own specific ADD.
Firstly, you just vindicated me on the checkbook thing. I never have to apologize again for not being able to do the checkbook. Thank you.
You're welcome. And actually, I want to bring up, we'll do this a little bit later, but I want to bring up the difference between the judgment of and the act of. The judgment of, say, not being able to get the checkbook balance versus the act of it. It's two different things. So after I finish this part about the three biggest challenges, maybe you can bring that up and we could talk about that.
Great.
A second challenge for the ADHD person to overcome in their lives is disclosing these traits to others. The biggest fear that ADDers have is, what if somebody found out what was going on? For instance, what if they found out I couldn't balance my checkbook? What if they found out that when I go to give a presentation, I shut down? What if they found out whatever it is? And so the disclosure of this information to others in a safe, secure, proper manner, once you understand it, is crucial, because then other people can begin to understand how they operate and they can begin to help.
I'm assuming that if you're talking about somebody applied and got a new job, and I'm assuming you're saying that it might worry the company, or the individual might be afraid it might look bad to the company. Is that what you're saying, for an example? And so people just don't really kind of state what they need?
Yeah, they don't state what they need. Sometimes there's the fear of the stigma or the label. Sometimes it's just they're not even clear that the problem is their filtration system in their brain doesn't work quite the way as others, and they often get overwhelmed. So when it's time to do, say, expense reports, or when it's time to do a status report, it puts them to overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
If they understood that, they then could go to the boss and say, for instance, I'd be happy to tell you what's going on with the people I work with in a status report, but I get kind of, paper is not my best. Would it be okay if I just came in and told you verbally once a week? And so they would create a system, in this case maybe a verbal system, that works for them. But they need to know what works and what doesn't in order to disclose it.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually brings us to the third piece, and that is the third biggest challenge is living free of the label or stigma of attention deficit disorder. In my view, it's not a deficit. There is no deficit of attention. The reason a person with ADD seems to work on a lot of tasks or gets distracted or has a hard time completing isn't that they don't have attention. They have so much that they're going from one to the other. A better terminology would be that they have a difficult time sustaining and holding attention for periods of time. So this label or stigma shows up in the individual and in other people in society. They say, well, you know, I'm not going to go talk to that guy. He's all over the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are some beautiful traits that come out of having this situation, the attention deficit. People are highly creative. People are highly intelligent, yet at the same time, they have difficulty following through and coming to completions on tasks. So it's a real paradox.
Mm. So in terms of, where do I want to take that now? So it sounds like, actually, I know where I want to go. I want to talk about that, the act versus the judgment.
Please.
So talk about that a little more. I think I can already guess, which is that if you see this as a difference that you have and you can find tools or ways to deal with it, then it's just the way you work and there's positives and negatives, versus saying, oh, I'm a bad person or a dumb person or an unprofessional person because I can't do these particular things.
Absolutely. So that last part, I'm bad, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm unprofessional, that's a judgment. What happens is when we as human beings, not just ADDers, we judge something, we put like an extra layer of ick on it. So if we say, hey, I don't like what that person's doing over there, we put a judgment on it. It makes it harder. And what happens is if we're judging ourselves and it's about an ADD trait, let's use the example of a person is chronically late. This happened for me growing up a lot. Chronically late, so I'm late, and then somebody outside of me says, "You're late again." Well, yeah, I am. And then I start judging myself. And every time I'm late, I start beating myself up, judging myself, making it wrong. The thing is this, changing the behavior of being on time, having structures for that is one thing. Changing the judgment of it is another, because as soon as I let go of, yeah, I'm late, I was 20 minutes late, that's right, and just acknowledging it, then it becomes much easier to change the structure to be on time. So a structure for being on time might be, I put it in my calendar for 15 minutes earlier than it is. Or another structure is, I have an alarm, and I set it for a certain amount of time before I need to do this task. So the structure is like changing the way you actually do it, in this case being on time, but to let go of the judgment is to let go of all the kind of the ick part, which kind of keeps us in the way of, in this case, being late.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would help all of us, even if we don't have ADD.
absolutely. Actually, I learned this from a source, nothing to do with ADD, about judgment. And I started working with clients on it, and then I thought, wow, what if particularly there were traits that we beat ourselves up on, and what if we could just stop judging it? Then it would be pretty easy to change the traits.
Mm-hmm. I assume that this happens with children a lot, where this shows up most frequently in school, and of course, your whole world really, your whole self-worth revolves around being successful in the only activity you do all day long, which is school. And I actually to this day know two adults that, in my opinion, are still traumatized that they had ADD in school. And I'm curious what you have to say about that.
Well, you can add three because I'm one of them. there was a lot of traumatized. I was never told what it was. I was never diagnosed. It was never like something going on of, I just kept questioning, what's going on? Why do I think differently? How come when I go to read, I get scared and then I can't to read and lose my place? I had all these different things happening. And I never had an answer because I didn't understand it. So I created these compensation mechanisms. And along the way, I said, well, I guess I must just be, and then the judgment comes, I must just be dumb. I must just be stupid. I must be different. Maybe I'm lazy. And I bought into all that. Until years later, I realized that, wow, that's not who I was. So growing up in families and in religious situations, maybe church or temple and in school, it's a huge place for these items to show up. If a person, whether they're diagnosed clinically, you know, medically with through a doctor, or they just are self-aware, if they can see what the traits are and can begin to have good strategies for it and be able to talk about it, it makes it much easier not to have that whole lack of self-worth piece.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, let me just bring up another piece here, and that is ADHD or ADD runs genetically in families.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be about 99% genetic and about 1% acquired. And I want to explain the difference. Genetic is, it came from ancestries, parents, grandparents, and if you have children, it goes down the chain. Not every parent or every child will have it. It'll have it identically. That's called genetic. It means it came from somewhere in the ancestry pool. Acquired is very rare. It's less than 1%. And in order to have acquired ADHD, a person has some sort of trauma to the head. They might be in a car accident. They might have fallen off a bike. They might have done something physically to their head where they had a blow to the head. So that would be acquired. They weren't born with it. They acquired it along the way. That tends to be a very, very small percentage. And the reason this is important in understanding ADD and ADHD is when a person starts to learn what it is and what it isn't, they start to talk often about the family. Well, my brother deals with the same thing, or my sister does, or my child does, or my mom or dad. And almost always, they can begin to see where it is in the family. So it's a very interesting component of understanding what it is and what it's not.
Mm-hmm. Before I go on, I just want to announce for the new people that are listening, you're listening to KPOO, San Francisco, 89.5, and you're listening to Julie Matthews and Barry Bettman, and we are talking about bringing out the pure brilliance of the ADD person. And you can find out more about the show afterwards at healthfulliving.org. But I wanted to make a comment now about the genetic piece. I definitely agree with you. I've seen that in my research as well, and it doesn't always manifest in ADD. Some people it manifests in autism or Asperger's or dyslexia or even depression is a similar kind of a similar basis. So not while you know maybe it skips certain people, but it might not actually be quote skipping people. It just might be manifesting in a different way. But I think that the genetic thing is important because what I find is that a lot of people then just kind of write it off as, oh, well, I've got a genetic predisposition. There's nothing I can do. And that's the part I want to clarify for people, that thinking actually isn't accurate. That while you might have a genetic predisposition, while you might have a tendency to have your biochemistry be imbalanced in a certain way, there are ways that you can positively impact it even though it has genetics at its origin. Would you agree with that, or what is your experience?
I agree 100%. This is really what is at the core of why even call it success coaching, why call it ADD success coaching. ADDers have a propensity for tenacity. That means to be able to stick to long term. They don't do so good short term, you know, they're not really good like getting things organized or getting things taken care of. But that tenacity allows people to, here's the thing, you don't really outgrow it, but you find new and different ways to conquer the world. Some of the people that deal with ADD, ADHD are amazing people in the world. You can look on websites, you see people like Albert Einstein and some other amazing people. Well, they obviously didn't just sit around and say, well, geez, I got ADD, it's predisposition, there's nothing I can do. There's a lot can be done. Coaching is a huge component. Diet, nutrition is a huge component. Exercise is a huge component. Some people go through medical diagnosis and get medical treatment. It can be a huge component. So it's a multimodal approach to be able to have lots of success in different areas in their life. I think the biggest myth is that, well, you have this and that's all you can do. Many years ago, before they called it ADD or ADHD, they had a term called minimal brain damage. Now, there's a not so positive.
Wow.
But there's a stigma on it. And so what we see both in the medical community and the holistic healing community and the coaching community, not just for ADD and ADHD, but for autism, Asperger's, any neurological condition, is that we're finding out people are normal in their own world. It's understanding what that is. There's a very interesting author by the name of Tom Hartman that has written some books and tapes. And his viewpoint, his perspective, is ADD and ADHD is about the farmer and the hunter. It's a hunter in a farmer's world. The concept is that when we as humans, way back in the cave days, we had to go out and hunt for food. You just didn't go down to Safeway or Albertsons and pick up your groceries.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a hunter, and you had to starve off the lions and the tigers, and it was very, like, out there. And then there later came the farmers. They would be at home, and they would cultivate the land. It's a different way of being. So the perspective is that ADD, ADHD is more like a hunting. And the farmers are the people that are what we call the neurotypical people. They can just sit down at the computer and do their work. So it's a different perspective of how it shows up in people.
Hmm.
Did that address what you asked?
Yeah, yeah. So let's just go to coaching and give me an idea of your background in coaching and how this type of coaching that you do is different than other types of business or life coaching.
Yeah, it's a great question. Originally got into coaching because I didn't know about my own ADD or ADD. I wanted to be able to help people for more success. And I got some fabulous training and experience with Anthony Robbins and the Coaches Training Institute, and they're very, very good coaching and life skills. But they don't address ADD very specific. They really don't address any neurological challenge. And that understanding is a really key component. Well, I did a lot of work on my own, and then I took some training from the ADD Coach Academy. And in that, we understand what things are ADD traits, what aren't. What things are neurologically based and what are not. And we're not doctors, and we don't go around diagnosing, but we do understand where that shows up. So when I work with a client that says something like, geez, every time I go to start a new venture, a new business, a new idea, I lose interest. So what we do is we start checking with them and finding out, well, what actually is happening? And then very often we get into the neurology of it. Do you notice that you're being overwhelmed and bombarded by lots of ideas? Yeah. Do you notice that you have a propensity to work on something and go from one thing to another? Yeah. So we're talking now about the traits of ADD and ADHD. One of the tools that I do is I explain to them a little biology lesson. And I have them take their forefinger, Julie, and I have it point. Matter of fact, you can try this and the listeners can try this now. Take your forefinger and point it, put it on your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That place you're touching is called the prefrontal cortex. In plain English, it's the steering wheel. Now, when a person without ADD goes to focus, they go to do some task, like sit down and write their checks out, like do their homework in school, like make a decision. What happens is, neurologically, blood flow goes into the brain. So the longer they sit there and concentrate, the more blood flow. What it means is they have concentration. That's what you call a neurotypical person. And in most school systems, particularly public schools, the idea is sit still, concentrate. Well, that works for your neurotypical person, but it doesn't work for the ADD person. And the reason why is take your finger, put it back on your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
When the ADD person goes to concentrate, the blood flow goes out of the brain. And this means a couple things. Number one, it means it's hard to concentrate. They get highly distractive. They want to go from one thing to another, and they can't complete the task. So in the ADHD coaching, the ADD success coaching, what I do is I work with people to have them be aware of what's going on for them. Not only the trait, but do you feel a sensation like you're having a hard time concentrating right in your brain? And very often, just that alone can lower the judgment, can lower the stress, and that alone can begin to help them to focus a little more. So we do very specific things, understanding the neurobiology, if you will, of ADD, ADHD.
Hmm. Interesting. So this is a question that I always wonder, and it's, can you outgrow ADHD? It always seems, you know, we hear about it in childhood, and then you never really hear about adults having it. So did they all outgrow it, or did they learn to deal with it better, or did they just learn to hide it, or what's going on?
Okay, I'm going to give you the answer from my own personal experience and from those of my clients. And that is, you don't outgrow it. You do not outgrow it. And you hope that every day it goes away, and it doesn't seem to. What happens is, if you have really good systems and structures, that means, for instance, a system would be a place to put your mail every day. A system would be, when I come in from school, I take my books and I take my backpack and I put it in the in a certain corner of the room. And a structure would be like a place to hold my keys. So when I walk in, I can put my keys on this hook. A structure would be a computer program to keep track of my calendar. So good systems and structures help people with ADD very good. Now, if you learn them purposely or by accident, and life is going along fine, for some people their ADD traits don't really show up. But if their structures and systems fall apart, then all of a sudden they start showing up. I know that for myself, at one point I thought everything was all fine, and then it showed back up again. So my own experience and what my clients report is that it doesn't really go away. You have new ways of dealing with it. You understand how to do things. And best of all, you start sharing it with other people. Oh, this is how I operate. And then they become accepting of it.
Yeah, sure. So what about, I'm assuming, do you work with kids or adults or both?
I primarily work with adults, and for me, myself, I work with children that the earliest would be very late high school or early college. There are other ADD coaches that work with children that specialize in different levels across the whole age spectrum.
So,
go ahead and ask a question anyway. I'd be happy to answer.
Oh, well, I was just, actually, I was just wondering that, and just to get a sense of if for people that are, for kids that are in school, because that's probably the first time they're going to come across probably a diagnosis of this, and then they're going to go to their school. Are there people like you for them? Are there, I mean, I'm sure in the private world there are, but are there tutors or OTs or any approach that schools typically take for handling this, or do you have to go outside and find a private person such as yourself typically? Do you have any sense of what?
Yeah, I do have a sense. I have a sense that in the public school system in the United States, for the most part, there is a cursory understanding of what ADD is. In some schools, there are OTs and people that are very specific. In some schools, it's very little. It depends where it is and how they're set up across the country. But ultimately, the parents and the child end up becoming their own advocate. And this is one of the keys in being able to break free of the stigma, and that is to do your own homework and your own research. There is something in the U.S. called an IEP, an Individual Action Plan, that the student or the parent can work with the school to create. And so this is important to know, that whether you're in school or whether you're an adult in the workforce, that you can go ask for what's called special accommodations. I give you a good example. When I took my, at the Coaches Training Institute, when I took my final exam, there was a written and an oral. And I don't do so good on written, but I knew the knowledge. And my handwriting's horrible. I can't read it half the time. So I said, okay, what's the problem? The problem is for me that writing, not the written word, but handwriting is not good. So I went and asked for a special accommodation. May I bring a computer in and type the questions and answers, print it out, or give you the disk? And they said, sure, that would be fine. So by knowing what works and what doesn't work for me, and then asking for a special way of doing it, everything worked out great.
Hmm.
So there's a real live example. There's another piece about schools and kids, and that is there's a lot of undiagnosed ADD and ADHD. And whether you're diagnosed or you're not diagnosed, whether you're working with a physician or not, there's a lot of components to understand. We often say in ADD coaching that the pill is not the skill. What that means is you get diagnosed, and if you're on a particular medicine, the medicine alone will not take care of everything. It's going to make it better so you can focus, but you still got to have the skills. And the model we use through the ADD Coach Academy is a real easy model. It's called the machine, the mind, and the mission. So the machine is your neurochemistry, your body. How does your brain work? What diet are you on? Are you eating protein regularly? One of the keys for people with ADD, ADHD is eating a small amount of protein every 2 to 4 hours.
Hmm.
If you are on meds, are you taking them regularly? Are they the right levels? Are they working for you? And that's where you, the individual or the parent with the child, need to work with the doctor who specializes in it. Disclosure, if it's appropriate with certain people at school, the OTs or the principal or the school teacher, to say, you know, I have a hard time performing on command. So, for instance, for me as a child, when they said, okay, now it's time for you to read, I just go into these spasms.
Mm-hmm.
So by explaining that to the teacher and coming up with a different way of doing it may help them. For instance, you and the teacher might work together to come up with a strategy called when I call on you, I won't put you on a performance you know, you've got to perform read right now. What I'll do is I'll call and I'll say, Barry, would you like to read soon? And they might say, okay. And then the teacher might say, okay. So we'll agree that when I ask you to read, and if you say yes, you'll read in, you know, three people from now. But that's a strategy so they don't have this, oh my God, my brain shut down type thing.
Right, and then they can't even pay attention to the whole rest of the class because they're just waiting to get called on.
That's right. Right. And you were talking about this, you outgrow it. That kind of thing that happens, oh, I'm so worried if they call on me. Well, you kind of outgrow it, and then you show up in life, and you're in a situation in the workforce or maybe in the family, and somebody calls on you, and there's some pressure situation. Oh, my God, it showed up again. And most people don't even recognize it. So the traits and tendencies tend to show up across a lifespan. There was a wonderful woman by the name of Kitty Petty who was diagnosed in her very late 60s or early 70s in the San Francisco Bay Area. She created a institute called the Kitty Petty Institute, which was all about learning and resources for ADHD. She passed away somewhat recently, but just because here at a later age she learned about it didn't stop her from having a little more success in her life and helping other people.
Wow. You know, let's talk a little bit, because we were talking about the sharing some, you were talking about that, you know, there's positive things and some areas of struggle for certain people, but I'd love for you to share some examples that once the ADD person, what kind of success do you see when you start working with people, when you kind of figure out what their specific things are? What sort of success do you see?
I just want to get clear. Are we talking more like what are their challenges and what are their great traits?
More
of like what kind of results are people getting by working with coaches?
You know, I mixed two questions together in my mind, actually. Let's start with what the strengths and, let's call them, challenges of the ADD person, and then I'll ask the second part of that question.
Sure. So let's look at both of them. One of the big challenges is difficulty completing tasks. Now, for some people, it looks like they're not interested, and it's not that they're not interested, it's that they're having a hard time sustaining focus. So I'll explain what this means. If you ever look at a grand piano, there are three foot pedals, and one of them is called the sustain. So if anybody has ever heard a pianist, they push the sustain button down, a pedal, and they play some keys on the piano. And what you hear is you hear the notes vibrating over time. That's what sustain focus is. So the difficulty completing tasks is they don't have sustained focus. So they have a hard time getting tasks complete. Now here's the flip side. ADD and ADHD people are highly intelligent. Their IQs can be off the charts, but because it seems like they can't complete a task, they are labeled and self-labeled stupid or lazy. Mm-hmm. And they're actually very intelligent. There's a difference between intelligence and street smarts, and I'm having a hard time completing the task.
Mm-hmm.
Another area that's a challenge is time management, either running late or missing appointments, or just maybe if you're working on your homework as a child or you're working on a project as an adult, you just lose track of time. And the flip side is that these people are so creative they can think outside of the box. They can see solutions to problems that other people can't. Third challenge is decision management. Very often, it's just everywhere from difficult to what seems like impossible to make a decision. The more the decision, the bigger the consequences, the more the components, the longer and harder it is to decide. But here's the good thing about decision management. People are very entrepreneurial. They see ways of doing things that other people don't. So an entrepreneur as an adult may be a person that comes up with a product or service that nobody would have ever thought of.
Hmm.
And then the last one is difficulty with focus. The number one challenge, complaint that people report to me, particularly early on in understanding their ADD, is they say, I have a difficult time focusing. So I ask them, what does that mean? They say, I don't get the vision of where I'm going, or I have a hard time seeing the paper, you know, or the concept. It's an internal focus that they have a hard time with. Now, the flip side of this is because they're not as good at focus, they're often very good at other things like people skills. Let's take a career in sales, outside sales, where somebody is selling a product or service and goes out to the customer. It's often been said that if you take a person without ADD and you took a person with ADD and you put them both in the sales force next to each other, the person without ADD would get the job accomplished quicker. They would make the sale quicker. But the person with ADD would be more equipped. Because of the difficulty with focus, they would end up talking to more people, make more connections, and ultimately be more successful. But yet, when you say, did you get the job or task done, it looks like they can't focus. How do those line up based on the kinds of things that you've heard and worked with clients?
Yeah, absolutely. You pretty much hit the nail on the head, and I appreciate hearing kind of the flip side, because that's a side that we don't really hear that much. What are the benefits of the different ways that people might think or interact with the world? So that's really interesting. So the second part of that I wanted to get an idea of is, so now you work with somebody and they have some of these set of benefits and challenges, and then, what do you find, someone comes to you, what's typical in terms of what it would look like to be successful for them if they get coaching? What kinds of benefits and success do they typically see?
Yeah, so there's a couple of pieces. One of that is to work with the client to find out what does success mean to them. And, socially, success often means like a certain amount of money or a certain status. When we start defining what does success mean to a person, they may say things like, I'm able to balance my checkbook. I'm able to get my expense reports in a time. It may mean, as a child, wow, I was able to read this section in the book in front of the class and not go into total panic and fear.
Mm-hmm.
On another level, there was this amazing client that had this cool product that he couldn't get to market. And he worked with this ADC success coach. And the result is, not only did he get the product to market, but it's now a very well-known product for bicycles and motorcycles and things like that, and it's very successful. He couldn't do it by himself. He needed additional help.
Mm-hmm.
A client I had, very interesting, he was an architect, and the challenge he was having, and he didn't know this, was that he was processing information visually. We have, most humans have five senses, visual, which is through the eyes, auditory, which is through the mouth and the ears, kinesthetic, which is feeling, sensing, and then taste and smell. And those three primary, the visual, the auditory, and the kinesthetic, are ways of processing information. The challenge he was having was he didn't realize that he was highly visual. His partner was very auditory. What that means was one person was on channel A, and another person was channel B, and they were having a heck of a time communicating. Once we were able to understand this and bring it out in the open, the architect then could say, look, I need to draw this out. I need to see it. The business partner would say, I need to hear it. And so just by linking those two ways of processing information up, allowed them to grow their business, bring in more clients, and have a whole lot better life.
So if you're working with somebody, you bring up a really good point of somebody that might have a spouse or a friend or a loved one or a coworker that doesn't have ADHD, and they now have to interact, as you just described here. What, I guess, let me start with what would be important for the non-ADD person to understand about what it's like for the average ADD person?
It's a great question because you see this so much in life. First of all, they need to understand that they're a regular human being with regular needs, desires, and wants, just like them. They also need to understand a little bit of what I commonly call the owner's manual for the ADHD brain. What that means is they have to understand how does the individual operate. Part of that is education on the non-ADDers part, and part of it is working with the ADD person to understand what's really going on in there. For instance, an ADD person has an amazing creative skill that they can do something like this. They can have a concept or an idea, and they can put it in their brain, and they can do things like rotate it, flip it upside down, change the colors, do all these amazing things. So creativity is high. On the flip side is, if they're trying to focus on an individual task, it's very difficult. So if the non-ADD person, let's just say it's a worker, a colleague, if they could understand what is going on for the ADHD person, then the ADHD person feels normal, feels accepted, feels validated, and now the coworker understands them. He often will then not judge them and invite them in to be on the project. Same thing happens for kids in school. Wow, the non-ADD kids will judge the other. Wow, he's different. He's not good. He's lazy, dumb, stupid. It's not that. It's that they process information differently. So if the child can understand, or if the adult can work with the child and begin to understand not only the differences, but what are some of those innate abilities, and then they can communicate that to the other kids, to the parents, to the principals, to the other people, then it's like taking the best of all worlds.
I've heard that for, and I don't know if this is like this for most ADD people or not, but you were talking early at the beginning about the filter is, I guess, doesn't work as well, or for it works differently, and it's not an attention deficit, but it's attention priority differences. So I had once heard that it was kind of like having the entire radio dial all playing different stations all at once. You couldn't just tune into one station. Is that an accurate description, or is it really very, very different for different people?
The amount of the radio dial varies for each person. There's a interesting thing in ADD called hyperfocusing to hypofocusing. In plain English, if you had a pair of binoculars and you looked through the binoculars and it brought the image really close to you, that would be hyperfocusing. So ADDers tend to hyperfocus or asphyxiate on a given thought or subject. On the flip side, if you took the binoculars and you turned them reverse and you looked through the fat ends and you're looking out through the skinny ends, you would see the image way, 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 way far in the distance. That's hypofocusing, or can't see the forest through the trees.
Hmm.
So to the degree that somebody is hyperfocusing or hypofocusing, otherwise known as looking through the binoculars or flipping them around, varies from person to person depending on their neurobiology at any given time. Depends on their medicine, if they're taking it, diet, exercise, their thought patterns. And so the amount of how many stations come in at once is going to vary. There's no question for myself and with my clients that I work with that the ability to, say, filter out all the other frequencies and just hear KPOO, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and only hear that one thing is very difficult. So the downside is if you're working on one task as an ADD person, it's difficult. The good news is that if you are listening to all the radio channels at once, it's really good for like networking or sales or talking in a group because you can listen and hear all what's going on at once.
I was just going to interrupt. How do you determine, you as the individual person, determine when... Because I think I have this problem, Barry. When sometimes I can do 12 things at once and I really can be hyper-productive, and then other times I add one too many tasks and I'm totally overwhelmed and I can't do anything. So what do I do with that?
It's a good question. It's a good question. The barometer, the thermometer, the indicator of when a person goes into overwhelm is really key. You need to begin to look at what puts you into overwhelm. When is overwhelm? Is overwhelm the number of tasks? Is it the type of task? I'll give you a great example. A lot of ADD, ADHD people, and some that are not, have a difficulty with light sensitivity. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they go to read, just let's say, this happens for me, black ink on white paper, which is your traditional thing that comes in the mail or comes in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
For me and some people, it jumps around. The text literally jumps. Well, most people don't even know this. So what they do is they go to do a task like open up their statement from their bank, and they say they can't do it. Well, if they're not aware that what's causing the overstimulation or the distraction is, in this case, not too many things, but it's that decoding of that black and that white, they won't know what it is.
Hmm.
So it gets down to precision of being aware of what puts a person into the overwhelm or the too many things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not always the number, it could be the type. For instance, where I have a hard time reading the Wall Street Journal, black ink on white paper with lots of text, I can yet read a USA Today, which is tons of colors, different size fonts. I have no problem at all.
Mm.
So for me, in that example, it's not Wall Street versus USA Today. It's black on white with lots of text versus color, graphics, different things. I can process it a million times quicker.
Hmm.
Now, for instance, I just know, oh, this kind of newspaper, this kind of book, not the right kind of book for me.
Right.
Great information, wrong presentation piece. And that's what would put me into overwhelm.
Right. Well, that's so interesting. You know, we could be talking about this topic for hours, I can tell, and we are out of time, but I want to make sure that people have a way to find out about you and how to get in contact with you. So do you have some contact information for us?
Yeah, that'd be great. A couple things. One is you're welcome to go to my website, and it's barrybettman.com. I'll go ahead and spell that, BarryBettman.com. And I'd like to offer the listeners a gift, and that is I have a beautiful article I put together called The 10 Specific Tips for Having a Great ADD Life.
Mm.
So anybody that would be interested in this, all you need to do is send me an email, and the address is coaching@BarryBettman.com. And just put in the title ADD Success Coaching. I'd be happy to send you back this article I wrote called 10 Tips for Having a Great ADD Life.
Great, Barry. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Julie.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, we've been listening to Barry Bettman and bringing out the pure brilliance of the ADD person. And I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living. You are listening to our radio show, Reality Sandwich, every Thursday at noon. You can find more about us at healthfullivingsf.com and very shortly, healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening.